KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Hunter Biden faces up to 25 years in prison after his conviction on federal weapons charges. But legal experts say that isn't likely to be the case, that the president's son will see any time behind bars.
It's going to be interesting to see whether the special counsel even asks for any prison time. When you listen to his press conference and you read between the lines, it sounded like he may not even ask for prison time. That'll be a critical question, is what does he decide to request from the judge?
ABC's chief legal analyst Dan Abrams. The House will vote tomorrow whether to hold Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress. Police in Atlanta responded today to two shootings. One on a hijacked bus left one person dead. Another left four people shot and wounded at a downtown shopping center. Officers made arrests in both cases. The Southern Baptist Conventions voted to expel a Virginia church which believes women can serve as pastors. This is ABC News. A new study suggests elephants have names for each other.
People communicate in many different languages, but researchers have now found elephants may have their own language that's similar to how humans recognize and tell one another apart. Researchers say elephants appear to have individualized calls for different elephants, like names, and the sound of those calls change depending on the elephant being addressed in the herd. Scientists now believe that shows elephants may have the ability to communicate and link various calls with other individual elephants, shedding new light to how a pack of elephants gets along. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Joey Chestnut has become synonymous with the Nathan's Famous 4th of July hot dog eating contest on New York City's Coney Island. He holds the all-time record of eating 76 wieners and buns, winning the contest 16 out of the last 17 years. But this year, he's ditching it for a rival vegan hot dog brand. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL-HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL-HHS or the U.S. government.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin tourism had a record-breaking year in 2023, bringing in $25 billion in profit. Travel Wisconsin Communications Director Craig Trost says this is the second year in a row Wisconsin tourism recorded record-breaking numbers.
Tourism's economic impact grew in all 72 Wisconsin counties in 2023, and that was led by 45.9 million overnight visits to Wisconsin. That was up about 500,000 from 2022.
Milwaukee County alone brought in $4 billion. Wisconsin tourism continues to be one of the largest drivers of Wisconsin's economy. The Wisconsin DNR announced it will be awarding almost $600,000 in urban forestry grants to cities, counties, and nonprofit organizations. The grants will fund projects that help cities manage their trees and improve urban forestry. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers with a win over the Blue Jays. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 3-1 victory over the Toronto Blue Jays. The crew had not hit a home run in the past week until Jackson Churio did it in the third, followed by Willy Adames in the fourth inning on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Adames, deep left center, and the Brewers are going to have the lead. Number 10 for Willy.
That was a bomb.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Willie's such a competitor.
I've seen him hit that same home run 20 times since I've been here. Slider kind of down in the zone, right in that same spot.
Colin Ray got the win, now 5-2 for the season. NBA, Darvin Ham coming back to the Milwaukee Bucks as an assistant after a two-year stint as the head coach of the Lakers, UConn's Dan Hurley declining an offer from the Lakers to become their next head coach. NFL, the Packers back on the practice field for the first day of their mandatory minicamp this week in Green Bay. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Maybe a stray evening storm, otherwise mostly clear and a low of 50 tonight. And a mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, afternoon and evening storms developing. Some could be strong with gusty winds and large hail. Highs in the low 80s. Slight storm chance for Thursday. It's 69 degrees right now.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by Dr. Johnny Lupinacci for day 8 of Joe Biden's top 100. We'll be talking about school vouchers and what they mean for your family.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudigi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, you know, yesterday we had Rachel Thunder on and gave us an update report on our uncle Leonard Peltier that's been in prison wrongfully for all these years. I kind of have a little update, Haley, email that he sent out and letting everyone know how he felt things went. And I'm going to do a quick read of it, if you don't mind.
Yeah, please do.
All right. Well, this is from Leonard, and he said, okay. Went to the parole hearing today, and I was told I could get an answer in 41 days. How did it go? I cannot honestly say. The feds let the Kohler and Williams family, and they said that I should die in prison. Oh. I was only allowed to put in one witness. And Mo, the lawyer, did the legal arguments for our side. Mo and Nick did a very good job and were very effective. Everyone thought so, and so did I. If denied a parole date, we immediately will appeal to the courts. Okay, a long, hard day. And it is locked up for the day. Talk to you all tomorrow, I hope. Love you all. Dashke, Leonard Peltier. So,
wow. 41 days?
Yeah, up to 41 days. And I think Rachel said it could be up 21. To 21 days. But he put 41 days, and he was told that yesterday. So, very interesting. We'd really love to have Leonard out. We've been saying free Leonard Peltier for 8 years here on Native Roots Radio. And, we really mean that. It's our mantra. It's, you know, we want to visualize that he's 80 years old. Mm-hmm. You know,
he's walking with a walker now.
Right. And he's wrongfully, accused of these things. And, you know, his health's gone down the drain, and there's not much health care in prison. And, you know, he needs cataract surgery and all these things. And You know, I don't know if you know this, Haley, but he's an unbelievable artist, and I have a bunch of his prints here were given to me through Leonard to sell and at the store to make some money for his defense fund. But he cannot see that well anymore, so that's super sad to hear that and that, you know.
Right. Well, and he's been wrongly imprisoned for 50 years, right? Yeah. That's what Rachel Thunder said yesterday.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it could take up to days, and I know Nick Tilson, who is from Indian Collective. Is he the only one allowed to testify on Leonard's behalf? I think I read that somewhere.
Oh, really? Yeah. And it looked like from the email that he said that his lawyers were the only ones to be able to talk. Mm-hmm. So maybe we thought Nick could get in there and they could have more than one witness or you know, with a statement. But, you know, there's a plethora. You can just go on YouTube and look at all these people that, you know, were in the courtroom, and now even 20 years later, you know, in the 90s, they said that he's innocent and he should not be in there. So there's a lot of things that are out there like that that weren't being able to be brought up at the parole board by witnesses.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know how many days it could take, up to 21, or whether that's 41, or if they could delay the hearing. I don't really know how that works, but I do know that we need to keep Leonard at the front of our conversations and keep talking about it and keep the trial in everyone's mind. And I know that AIM, a lot of American Indian movements across Turtle Island in different states, are hosting prayers up until the final decision.
Right. And then in that email, he did say that whatever the decision is, they're going to
appeal it.
Appeal it. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a long fight, and it's a spiritual one too.
Right. And it's also, as we know here as Native Americans, back in the 70s, they wanted to make an example of American Indian movement and keep all the Indians in their place. And, you know, that's been 50 years, and now we have ways to fight. And, you know, some of the ways to fight, like Sam Strong said, I wish I recorded what he said at Red Lake, but, you know, we have lawyers, we have doctors, we have radio hosts, national radio hosts, and we have things like that that we didn't have before. And that's where the battle is now, is information and why we're talking about it, Haley.
Yeah, we've got to become kind of those modern day warriors and use the new tools that are available so the fight can be, you know, as equal as it can.
Yeah, fight fire with fire, I guess, is what I'm saying. And I mean, that might have a negative, you know, side to it, but I really feel like that's a good thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, hey, remember on kind of some good news here, remember what happened in the Twin Cities 4 years ago? This was an anniversary yesterday on the 10th.
Geez, I think I saw something pop up. Give me a hint.
It's a statue, and it came
down. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I did see that. You go ahead and tell everyone. That was our friend from American Indian Movement Minneapolis pulled that down.
Yeah, AIM Twin Cities in Minnesota, they just reminded me of yesterday, but the Christopher Columbus statue that was up outside of the Minnesota State Capitol, they took it down 4 years ago. That was back in 2020. And, you know, what a great day that was.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, it got a lot of press. And I think some of the photographs were pretty awesome out there because they had Christopher Columbus like face down on the concrete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like a caption that goes, Christopher Columbus discovers the sidewalk circa 2020 colorized.
Right. And I do believe they have not put that back up. And, you know, it's funny, the lieutenant governor of Minnesota, whomever that is, and we know who it is now, is Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. is ahead of the grounds. Did you know that? Where,
no.
Yeah, that's part of her job is being a lieutenant governor. So that's funny that that has not been put up.
Right.
put back
Were
up.
You there at that? Were you part of the videos that I saw of them taking down the statue? Were like was like a tug of war type of thing, and it was a big like community. There were a lot of people behind the rope that pulled.
Yeah,
it down.
It crescendoed. I wasn't there. It was crescendoing, and you know it's funny, Haley, that you say that is that I had a radio show to do when they did that, and but I was watching it on YouTube live. And like everyone was just standing around there and they were protesting. And next thing you know, there was a rope around his neck and people pulled him down. And there it went.
A good day. A good day to be indigenous.
Yeah, every day is, but that was a gooder day. Hey, who would we have up today?
Hey, we're going to have Janice and Brooke LaFleau on from Montessori American Indian Child Care Center in St. Paul.
Right on. And we'll be talking about their history and what they're doing and, you know, what's happening right now. So we're always good, glad to have those two on. It's Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program or TAP is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. That's 612-373-3333.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month. Right here on AM 950.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number
3030. Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic, or NAC, on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do, and we really enjoy the partnership over the years that we've had with them and great work that they do. Hey, Haley, we got Janice LaFleau and Brooke LaFleau on the air right now. And Janice, it looks like your head's kind of floating there. Just swore on our radio show there. I hope we got that. I hope we got that taken care of from the mother station. Yeah. Hey, how's it going, Brooke?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good. Pretty good. You know, it. How
I was like, you can hear me right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, we can. It going good. We. Can't have a bad day with the way the weather is here right now in the Twin Cities, and so we are really happy about that. Hey, you know, we want to talk about what's going on with your school, but I want to back up a little bit, Brooke, and can you just talk about maybe the history of this Montessori school and talk a little bit about that and let people know, you know, the history.
Absolutely. We are one of the best kept secrets on the St. Paul side of the river. We've been around, this is our 10th year. So we've graduated nine classes of children and sent them off into the different parts of the world in the city. My mother is Janice LaFlo. She was the founder. She received a Bush Fellowship in 2013. And that Bush Fellowship was to found a child care center. We are the only, to this day, still the only American Indian led and directed child care center in the city of St. Paul and in all of Ramsey County. So there was a need back then, and there's still a very much a need today to be serving our American Indian children over here on this side of the river. And we are in a great place to be expanding. 10 years in, we've had a primary children's house. So we serve ages 3 to 6. And over the 10 years, we've ramped up different programs. We do a birth to three prenatal, prenatal to three program on Tuesdays. We also are part of the American Indian Collaborative Hub. So we do wraparound services with the American Indian Family Center now, and then Interaction Faith DIW. And so we are co-locating and doing integrated services so that all of our families, our American Indian families here on the east side, can get a little bit of everything they need. You know, you need childcare from us. You need some food from DIW. You need some employment help from American Indian Family Center. So we've expanded, and we're still expanding on that path. So what, I'll let Janice say anything too.
Oh, hey, Janice, how you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm okay. It's always a busy day when you're doing early learning work, and it's been a busy day. We're quite excited to be sharing today on the show an upcoming opportunity to support training, Montessori training, for applicants interested in coming into the early learning work. We know that we'll be expanding soon, and so we're excited to share a whole lot more about what that opportunity looks like and how you can get connected to what we'll be doing soon.
Yeah, you know, now that we got a little history, we can jump right into that, Janice. And, you know, I know that with expansion, there's a lot of possibility and a lot of diverse hours, so to speak. And let's talk a little bit about that.
Certainly. So what we're thinking, you know, 10 years into the work, the greatest compliment is to be able to replicate myself in the environment and find another Native person who's interested in going through Montessori training to bring that alive in our children's house. And so that's what we're hoping to do with our expansion, is to find some of those Native people out there who are very interested in early learning work that are ready to take it to the next level.
When you talk about taking it to the next level, I mean, there's Montessori work and daycare. What makes you guys different and better?
good one. I think that one of the most unique aspects of our work really is that we are grounded in the Montessori method. And so in order to bring Montessori into the environment, you do have to go get trained in the Montessori approach. We're pretty blessed here in St. Paul to have one of the Montessori training centers of, Brooke can probably help me out, I think there's only 8 across the nation. And so that's one of the most unique factors about taking it to the next level, is it is a more than just a CDA. It's not exactly, you know, a teaching license, but it is taking 9 months to do an intensive, rigorous training course that includes theory, student teaching, and lots of student practice and work with the materials, so that you really can understand and embody the intention of the work so that you can be focused on how the child is actually receiving the information and the presentation that you're sharing with them. And so that next level really is about the adult preparation to be in space and in a learning space with children. You really have to understand and know what you're doing well enough so that, like I said, you can pay attention to how the child is receiving so that you can appropriately respond to that individual learning style that each child develops. And you're a part of that early learning experience and how they learn to receive information.
You know, it's interesting too, Brooke. You know, we talk about this a lot on Native Roots Radio about how important it is, and I'm not saying this right, but to catch our young ones at an early age and how that development really, really helps them in the long, long run.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we talk about language revitalization work and, you know, the development of personalities and the revival of culture, right? Our children can be the only first language speakers, right? When we become, when English is our first language, we are still second language speakers. So it really is a way, it is the most important work to do is to help children develop their identities, have touch with their language, with their indigenous language. We always, you know, try to make sure that our children, by the time that they leave us, can introduce themselves, you know, and mm-hmm. speak for themselves, say where they're from, who their family is, what tribe they come from, multiple tribes too. You know, we're in the cities and we've got lots of our intertribal families these days and interracial families these days. And so those are things we can always talk about with our children too, is what does it look like to be biracial and to be a mixed native in our community? And those things happen in early childhood, right? When our children are absorbing everything. Maria Montessori said that children are like a sponge, right? Their brains, the absorbent mind is like a sponge. So they take in everything at that age. And I think it's just the most important work, right? When we talk about cultural revival, language revival, just being strong in who you are as a personality, as a person. And then, you know, when you know that as a young person and you grow up knowing that as a young person, it stays with you. And so you're less, you have more strengths to deal with racial bias as an adult, or racial bias as a young person, right? You have these things that you already know about yourself to go out into the world.
That's interesting.
Lots
that
of
you
research
brought.
Coming out too. Yeah.
That's interesting, Brooke. One of the things I wanted to ask you too, and you kind of touched on it, was I know, I think Haley, it was 150 different tribes in Minneapolis, the public, Minneapolis Public School knows that there's 150, and I'm sure there's roughly around that in St. Paul too. How do you customize, or do you customize their language or what they learn? Because, you know, we're sometimes a pan society, which is not good. And I can verify that. I have a dream catcher on my back and I'm a Ho-Chunk and I don't talk about that. You know what I'm saying, Brooke?
Yeah, I don't talk about that. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. How do we get away from pan-Indianism? As much as we can, we give these children their tribes and their languages. We used to have an agreement with St. Paul Public Schools Indian Ed where we would have a Lakota speaker come in once a week to speak with the children. So as much as we try to be a dual language immersion, we try. We just don't have, it's hard to get those speakers full time. So we had a Dakota and an Ojibwe speaker come in when we had that partnership.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air. ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Hunter Biden faces up to 25 years in prison after his conviction on federal weapons charges. But legal experts say that isn't likely to be the case, that the president's son will see any time behind bars.
It's going to be interesting to see whether the special counsel even asks for any prison time. When you listen to his press conference and you read between the lines, it sounded like he may not even ask for prison time. That'll be a critical question, is what does he decide to request from the judge?
ABC's chief legal analyst, Dan Abrams. The House will vote tomorrow whether to hold Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress. Police in Atlanta responded today to two shootings. One on a hijacked bus left one person dead. Another left four people shot and wounded at a downtown shopping center. Officers made arrests in both cases. The Southern Baptist Conventions voted to expel a Virginia church which believes women can serve as pastors. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Democrats say they have a shot at regaining control of the Assembly in 2024. With retirements and redistricting, almost two-thirds of Assembly seats will be up for grabs in the 2024 election cycle. 120 Democrats are running for office, which is the most since 2011. The Wisconsin Elections Commission met on Monday to finalize the ballots for the August and November primaries. Wisconsin small business owners are worried about proposed cuts to the Affordable Care Act. Krissa Ostenzo owns an optometry clinic with her husband in Ladysmith. She says the premium cap for recent adjustments put health insurance within people's reach.
We always just had to encourage our employees to get health insurance and try to pay them enough to do it. And it really wasn't until the 8% that we succeeded in that. And they started all having health insurance.
The temporary ACA premium caps are set to expire at the end of next year. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Here's one of Pete's picks. Richard Linklater's latest film, Hitman, starring and co-written by lead actor Glenn Powell, is really good. Powell plays a college professor but works for the police by night, pretending to be a hitman to entrap those looking to have people killed. The story is filled with fun turns, suspense, sweet romance, and is based on a true story. Hitman can be streamed on Netflix and received excellent reviews. What do you do to help restore your image after you accost the host of the Oscars? You show that you are a man of the people by watching your new film Bad Boys, Ride or Die, with the commoners. That is what Will Smith did, actually sitting right in the middle of a crowded theater. The actor revealed himself after the end credits. Oh, yeah. And you also make sure fan reaction is captured on TikTok by the theater manager, and that there's another camera outside to capture the glory. When Smith went in for handshakes or hugs, most flinched, but no one was slapped. He is back. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Maybe a stray evening storm, otherwise mostly clear and a low of 50 tonight. And a mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, afternoon and evening storms developing. Some could be strong with gusty winds and large hail. Highs in the low 80s. Slight storm chance for Thursday. It's 69 degrees right now.
Well, hi there. It's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WBZH. It's not just for farmers. It's for anybody that loves food. Tune in 5 a.m. on the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. Hayward.
Matt Nair on air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno Fest?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We could, like, have an Uno Fest for charity or something?
That'd be cool.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Bob Lord from Patriotic Millionaires joins us at 10:33. And you're on the road with Jane and Todd in Richland Center Live. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Hey, 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 hey.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis. It's producer Haley Cherry, and I'm here with guest host Arvina Martin, stepping in for Robert Pilot. And Arvina is the executive director of Emerge Wisconsin. Thanks again, Arvina, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So, I mean, we were just talking voter stuff in the last segment. And I mean, is there anything else that you wanted to touch on? I mean, I just want to remind our listeners out there that you were the first ever Native American elected to the City Council of Madison.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the big thing to there's a couple things that I want to like kind of highlight. One is that, you know, there's a lot of Native people that don't want to get involved in elections or politics outside their tribe, because they say, you know, this is my government. And that is absolutely valid. I would just, you know, ask folks to think about, you know, the fact that you have an opportunity to elect people to work with your tribal governments, mm-hmm. you know, and having that opportunity to pick who your tribal governments are going to be working with is a really big deal. And you can help elect people that will work with tribes and that will respect, you know, tribal governments as peer governments to theirs, and will understand the issues that are important to us in our communities. The other thing I want to say is that this is going to be a really close election. You know, I think I was checking during the break, and I believe that Wisconsin was decided by about 15,000 votes. Like, that is not, my source here says in 2020 that the presidential election was decided on a margin less than 12,000 votes. And they also estimate there to be about 91,000 Native voters in Wisconsin. We can absolutely have it make a difference and show up on election day and, you know, again, choose people that are going to work with our communities and work with our governments to make things better for all of us and to listen to us. And when we go out and vote, that is the ultimate, you know, feedback that we can give them, give to our elected officials, you know, the confidence to have them work for us, whether they're getting elected or reelected, or, you know, the ability to say, hey, nope, I don't think you're the guy. Right. So those are the two big points about voting I like to mention. So
yeah. Well, when did the orange one get his all of his counts handed to him? That was this week, right?
Last week. Has no meaning, we know this,
right.
It does seem like it was like yesterday, and you know, you can't be a felon and like our tribal elections, you can't be tribal president and be a felon, right?
Right. That's what I thought. And I had to like do some serious listening and some research on, I guess you can be a felon and run for federal government, which is, I mean, blows my mind, but.
I feel like that is like one of the urban legends that we were all taught. Like growing up, oh, if you're a felon, you can't be president. Oh, yeah. George Washington chopped down a cherry tree. You know, like these old stories that everybody now is like, wait a second.
Yeah, it's like you grow up and they just change all the rules on you. You're like,
right.
What?
Right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm hoping it's not a close election, but we'll wait and see, and we're going to keep doing the work.
Yep, and that's why we got to get out and make sure everybody does get out to vote. Because, you know, to be absolutely clear, the Democrats want more people to vote, you know, and Democrats are confident that when everybody goes to vote, Democrats win elections. You know, Republicans trying to get people to not vote, whether it is, you know, having people you know, or shady organizations that are very loosely affiliated to, you know, sending things out saying, oh no, vote tomorrow or vote next week instead, or, yeah. or which you hear of from time to time. But, you know, or trying to slam mail-in voting or trying to actively take away, you know, places where people can get IDs so that they can go vote, making the ballot inaccessible, you know?
Yeah. So. Especially the whole inaccessible thing and like providing voting locations to indigenous peoples who live on the reservation, which, you know, most reservations are secluded or, you know, it takes, you know, it's a long drive to get into a town or a city where they're going to have voter polls.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, I mean, and that is a problem that happens with rural folks all over the country too, you know,
right.
Yeah. And it's not like if you, you know, live up north in Wisconsin, it's real easy to go get a new driver's license from the DMV because how far away is it, you know?
Right.
So, you know, it's wild.
I like NACTI's, saying, you've heard that, right? Make voting a tradition.
Oh, I like that too.
Bring your aunties, bring your gagas and your chokas, your grandmas and your grandpas, and get the whole family out there.
I have a picture of my daughter who was at the time, what, 2-3 months old, and going out to vote for Barack Obama, and that, and taking a picture with her. And being like, we voted today, you know, she was just a little nugget, but
yeah. I remember when Barack Obama was elected, like I have the vivid memory of my mom waking me up, you know, after it was like, must've been late at night or something on a school night. Cause I was sleeping and I just remember getting woken up and like celebrating, like it was, you know, a really big thing.
Yes. Yes. And the other thing I want to mention about voting nostalgia is that I remember going when my parents would go to vote. And I have to say that I'm a little jealous that I never got to vote in those machines that where you had to like pull down a lever and you got to go into a booth that had like a curtain. And
oh, yeah,
it was
that.
All very like mysterious. And I thought it was illegal to tell people who you voted for.
Yeah, me too. Now that you say that, I have all these memories coming back. That's funny you bring that up, because the last election or what I just voted for, it was the same thing. I walked in there and, you know, everyone is like, there's no curtains. It's just not, people are very open about it now compared to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then, but we get stickers now too, which is pretty cool. And
yeah.
I save all my stickers. And, you know, we had the Ho-Chunk Nation ones that said, I believe it said I voted in Ho-Chunk. So like Hija Haicha, I believe is how you pronounce it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was pretty stoked about that.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, what else is going on? We've got Pride Month. What's going on? Are you doing anything for that? Does Wisconsin do a big Pride Fest?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot. So Milwaukee does their Pride Fest. That's going to be starting up pretty soon. It's always a good time with a lot of speakers and the parade, performers, and just a lot of fun times. I've never had a bad time at Pride in Milwaukee. It's just positivity and happiness. And I know that there's going to be a lot more Pride events all over Wisconsin. Madison tends to do our Pride later in the summer and call it, I don't know if we still call it Fruit Fest, but that's what it used to be called.
So
Madison's will likely be later this summer, and you know, it's kind of a nice start to festival season where you get to go out and listen to new musicians, local musicians, and see the like handicrafts and things that people make that your neighbors make. And it's kind of like going shopping at a powwow.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly what it reminds me of too.
Yeah.
I mean, Minneapolis has Pride Fest at Loring Park this month, Saturday and Sunday, June 29th and 30th. And I know Native Roots Radio will be going live out there Saturday for 1 hour. And hopefully we're going to be having Dr. Stately come on and Robert Lilligren of NACTI. And then New Native Theater. I want to shout out New Native Theater.
will also be out there marching with us. We're all going to march together in really cute outfits, I'm sure. And then, but yeah, New Native Theater is, I believe this year, this is their third annual or maybe fourth. I can't remember. Their two-spirit powwow that they host here.
I was going to ask about that. I've always wanted to go and I've never been able to. When did you say, when it was, or?
Do you mean Pride Fest here or the two-spirit powwow? The
two-spirit powwow. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're good. That'll be in July. So July 13th, if you're going to be around to travel.
Yeah, that would be super fun. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's awesome seeing, you know, more LGBTQ two-spirit representation in our events, and, you know, our media and arts and everything. And, you know, obviously I don't know about the traditions of all of our communities, but there's so many of our communities that have that respect for folks who are LGBTQ or two-spirited, and it's makes me happy to see that there's so many people going back to those traditions, and knowing that hatred is not part of who we are, you know?
Right. Well, and like when we talk about it being, I know like people say, oh, it's so unnatural and this and that. But then when you look back on Native cultures and Native history and even just, you know, plants and things alive in nature with a spirit, I mean, this is showing up. It's not an anomaly, you know, it's very natural in a lot of species, actually. And I know we have a minute left here, but maybe when we come back, we can explain a little bit more for our listeners, because I always have to kind of redefine this term, but what two-spirit is.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. All right, well, we're here with Arvina Martin, the executive director of Emerge Wisconsin, and producer Haley Cherry, who's co-hosting today, and we're both filling in for Robert Pilot. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this quick break. Stay with us. The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Dive into a world where tradition meets innovation, satire meets symbolism, and Native American art takes center stage. All My Relations Arts and the Native American Community Development Institute proudly unveil Alter Native by Frank Buffalo Hyde. Alter Native is an electrifying exhibition that uses satire to push boundaries and demand a closer look at the vibrant complexities of Native identity in today's world. So embrace the unexpected and challenge norms with Alter Native by Frank Buffalo Hyde, showing now at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
Do you have a personal financial goal like buying a car, starting a business, saving for college, or investing for retirement? Whatever your goal is, you need a plan. It might seem overwhelming, but like physical fitness, you can gradually improve your financial health step by step. Start by creating a spending plan, improving your credit score, opening a bank account, or finding a trusted advisor. Not sure where to start? Visit mn.gov/commerce/money for more.
For the past decade, Four Sisters Farmers Market has been working to bring healthy and affordable food to Indigenous communities and surrounding neighborhoods. Join the celebration for opening day, June 6th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. They'll have over a dozen vendors, like the new Powwow Grounds food truck, Fry Bread Factory, and music by Afro-Indigenous artist James Harbin. Four Sisters Farmers Market in Minneapolis is opening on Thursday, June 6th, from 11 to 3. Discover more on their social media accounts.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Wow.
I never did it. I start making the noise and then I get self-conscious and I start laughing.
Oh, no. Arvina, your wolf howl is great. Hey.
Oh, dear.
Well, dear. I'm Haley. We're here with Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're just talking about, I don't know, kind of everything today. It's just the two of us Ho-Chunk women holding down the fort, and it's been really fun.
Absolutely. I'm super glad to be here, and I like it when we get our girl time.
I know. That's what I said yesterday on the show. I was like, Robert's like, you guys going to miss me? I'm like, well, of course, Dega. We're always going to need our host, you know. But the girl time is, you know, can't go without it.
It's kind of nice if I do so myself.
Yes. Okay. Well, we were talking about Pride because it's Pride Month. So want to wish everyone out there Happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride. And we're going to talk Two-Spirit because that's an Indigenous term that that we use, or some of us identifying as that use. And I don't know. What do you know about it?
As far as I know, the term Two-Spirit kind of came about like within the last 25-ish years, maybe. And as a way that to describe, you know, somebody who doesn't necessarily identify in the gender binary or as straight, and see sexuality and gender perhaps more on a spectrum, and having or just have it that it makes more sense in a Native worldview. But granted, just because of my rambling, you know, I don't know if this is all very apocryphal or if this is like based in fact, but that's kind of what I've heard.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great information. And I ask because I just think so many people, like, I get questions on it a lot. What is Two-Spirit? What does that mean? Is it only an Indigenous term? And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
And it is only an Indigenous term, and, you know, not to be appropriated with anyone else. But this is coming from Jerrica Fountain Designs on Instagram. And I had to save this because, I mean, really, this is a good definition. And however you want to define it, I feel like it varies, as I say. So Two-Spirit varies in what it refers to. The phrase coming from Anishinaabewoan term Nees Manidubong. Sorry, I'm not Ojibwe, so I probably did not pronounce that right. But that directly translates to two spirits. And the initial intent in coining the term was to differentiate Indigenous concepts of gender and sexuality. So pretty much, you know what you said. And they're saying it's used to describe Native people who fulfill a traditional third gender, Indigenous people who identify as having both a masculine and a feminine spirit, describe Indigenous gender identities, and use an umbrella term for queer Indigenous people. Two-Spirit is commonly used as an umbrella term for various identities, but it is ultimately a pan-Native term, meaning it exclusively refers to Indigenous people. So I think, you know, that's a great definition and hopefully provides, you know, whoever needs it with a little bit more knowledge.
Yeah. And there was a musician who is a straight white guy. No, he's not straight. I apologize. No, a musician who was white, who described himself, I think maybe even in a Rolling Stone article, as Two-Spirit. And boy, did he have to deal with. I can't remember what his name is. He's somebody that is like, you know, very inoffensive and like nobody expects would ever have a scandal. But appropriated this identity that was not his to take. And, you know, I think he very publicly learned a lesson about appropriation in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's important to talk about it and kind of educate people in a friendly way about what that is.
I also want to mention, too, on our last segment with, you know, a few minutes left here, tomorrow in Minneapolis is NACD, Native American Community Development Institute. Their Four Sisters Farmers Market opens back up, which is, you know, it's just a huge event that goes on all throughout the summer in June and goes throughout the October months here. It takes place on the American Indian Cultural Corridor on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. The exact address is 1414 East Franklin Avenue. But, you know, the Four Sisters Farmers Market is just amazing. I want to give a shout out to Destiny Jones, who is a Ho-Chunk, and she comes from the Funmaker family. She is running that market, and she's doing an amazing job at it. And opening day is tomorrow, June 6th, from 11 to 3 p.m., myself and Robert will be there as we usually are every Thursday. But it's a fun place to be seen. And I mean, really, you run into so many people that work in the Native community. And it's just a really great time. Hopefully you, when you're in town, hopefully, Arvina, you
what
can...
Does the farmer's market happen again?
Every Thursday at 1414 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis.
Okay, I'm going to have to like put that into my consideration. I wish we had something similar in Madison. It sounds like, you know, a great place to do the shopping that you need to do. So like getting some errands done, but then you also get to, you know, build community and reinforce those bonds with the people that you know and care about. And, you know, how lovely.
It is. I actually have been like waiting all year for this to kick back up. So I'm actually really excited. And it's just a great place to, you know, hang out with your friends and be outside. It takes place outside. So usually it's rain or shine, but I mean, there's Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop, which is right there too, which is kind of like the little cafe that everyone comes to when they come to the Minneapolis area from out of state. And of course, NACD's offices are there. So the whole NACD crew is there and it's fun. There's healthy food vendors. We're going to be vending there with Native Roots Arts once a month. So we'll come out and get some cool t-shirts and hats.
Oh, I saw that bring your ass hat.
Oh yeah, the bring your ass. That is from our printer company that we use. They were really hot on getting those out right away.
Those are hilarious.
Yeah, I know, right? Too bad the wolves. I mean, what an ending, but they came so far.
Yeah, I mean, get that far is pretty great. So Bucks didn't get that far. So way to go, T-Wolves. Do you guys call them T-Wolves? Or did I just make that up?
No, T-Wolves. That's a big, that's something we say for sure.
Okay.
I also want to mention, too, Red Lake Nation Tribal College's Minneapolis campus is having their grand opening tomorrow, Thursday, June 6th from 2 to 4 p.m. So I'm imagining that is pretty close. I got the direct, or I thought I had the direct address, but come hang out at the farmer's market and then head over to the opening. I know Representative Heather Keeler will be speaking and sharing a few words, so... I mean, I've seen a few pictures in the college. It's just a very urban environment and it's beautiful. It overlooks the skyline and everything.
Oh, how cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, we have, you know, about 2 minutes left. Arvina, is there anything else that you wanted to get out to our listeners? Again, I just want to say a big kina gigi for coming on.
Yes, thank you for having me. If you are interested in learning a little bit more about the American Indian or the Indian Citizenship Act and the 100th anniversary, the WISDEMS are doing a presentation at 6:30. If you look it up, I don't have the link on me.
I could post it. I'll post it in our show's Facebook comments.
Awesome. Yeah, so it's starting in half an hour. So if you are not in the Twin Cities to go to the Medicaid conversation, you should definitely come and listen to us talk about the ramifications of the American Citizenship Act.
Definitely. Yeah, it's important stuff to know. So thanks again, Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, for being here. I am producer Haley Cherry.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Todd Albaugh. Join us next time as we're live in Richland Center with our friend Jane Matinere on the road. Also, Phil Nee from WRCO, WRCE, and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. meeting you to celebrate our great state.
It's On the Road with Jane and Todd.
We are going to be broadcasting from places where you can come as we're doing both of our shows. Say hi, and I'm so looking forward to having the chance to sit down and talk to folks.
And that's the fun part of it, is just having conversations with real people.
It's Matt and Air on Air and the Todd Alba Show together on the road.
June 11th through the 14th from 10 to 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.